Brother Brian's going to teach the Sunday school hour, so I'm going to ask him if he'd come up at this time. We can get him wired up with this cordless mic because he's one of those guys that's just all over the building. He'll be here. He'll be back in the bathroom preaching. He'll be standing on the pews. There's no telling where he'll be. Brother Brian and his family have been here several times over the past few years, so we won't give him any formal introduction. We'll save that for this morning in the morning service, but teens are staying up here if you haven't figured that out or if I haven't said that yet. And Brother Brian, you go ahead.
All right.
It'll take two of us to figure it out.
There you go.
Is it on, Jeff?
Is it on? Okay.
Now it should be.
Is it on now?
Huh?
There you go. There you go. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's a blessing to be back. I've been praying for all of you as a church and for your pastor, and I'm glad to hear the good news. The church is growing. Praise the Lord. Pastor's been full-time, and what a blessing, you know. And praise the Lord, there's no drums. You don't know what to expect anymore. You go back to visit a church and you see all this stuff and you're going, okay. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see the old-fashioned hymns are still being sung. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's going to be a little bit of a different Bible study or Sunday school lesson. Maybe you've never heard on this specific subject taught before, but if you're honest this morning, you're guilty of this sin. And that's not one of these ranting and raving, screaming, getting in your face kind of lessons, but nevertheless, it's a sin that I'm not going to lie to you, I'm guilty of myself. And Lord just dealt with my heart about it, and I tried finding a whole bunch of literature, and I didn't find anything early, about this writing except in the 1700s, about this specific sin in people's lives as a Christian. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about him, he's hung up on, okay? Rides a hobby horse about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to be back at this church. I pray that you fill me and use me. Help me to have liberty. I pray, God, to be a good spirit. Pray, God, that I would just be a help to this church. Pray to speak to the hearts of each and every person, Lord, and help them to be honest with themselves about this sin, Lord, that we are all guilty of, Lord, more than we're aware of. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when a preacher gets up and preaches, sometimes you think, well, who's been preaching to the preacher? Well, don't worry. God's been beating on him all week. And God's teaching him some things. And when he gets up in a pulpit and teaches you, it's something that God's been dealing with him all week about. And this specific sin, if you notice, look at the end of verse 4. It's only found one time in your King James Bible. That's two words there at the end of it. Evil surmisings. Now, evil surmisings has been defined to suspect. It's to imagine without certain knowledge. It's to entertain thoughts that something does or will exist, but upon slight evidence or no certain or strong evidence. Basically, Jonathan Edwards said this, it is a disposition to think or judge uncharitably of others. He goes on to say that it often shows itself in a disposition to think the worst of those about us. It appears in a disposition to overlook their good qualities. It is to see only that which is evil. You know what I find? A lot of brethren do that. They come to a church and they're looking for stained glass windows, but they're missing the whole point. They're missing, does the man of God preach the King James Bible? It's always these little nitpickers, these gnat strainers. It's like an old little nursery rhyme that I read to my kids, and I can't remember the whole thing, but it's all about, pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London and back again. Pussycat, pussycat, what you see there? I saw a mouse under the chair. Well, the whole issue is that the cat was actually at the palace. And all that, cat saw was a mouse. Does that make sense? And there's some people that all they do is they come and they find fault with the preacher and his wife and his kids. And it's just evil surmisings. It's thinking the worst of others. It overlooks their good quality. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't find something good in somebody, there's something wrong. Now, I'm not a liberal. I'm not saying let's look good in Jeffrey Dahmer and let's look at the good in Charles Manson. There is none. But you got these brethren, and this is what they say. You better watch out for the brethren. And when you got someone like that, you better watch out for them. So I grew up in the streets of Philadelphia. And when someone says to me, you can trust me, you can't trust them. That's just the way it is, you know? And evil surmises, if you notice in the context, it's pride is with it, strifes, envy, railings. It's a pretty bad company to be with. And there are some Christians that think more evil of other Christians than any good. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you suspect the worst in others? Now, before you say, oh, no, I never do that. Well, by the time this lesson is done, you probably will find yourself probably guilty of it today, yesterday, day four. And I'm going to tell my wife and I was saying something. She goes, now, Brian, don't evil surmise. You know, I'm like, man, my wife paid attention, amen. But, you know, it's easy. Listen, it's easy to be critical. It's very easy to be critical, especially when you've been through some things in life. But the Bible says we're to walk circumspectly at the same time and not as fools. The Bible says a simple man passeth on and is punished. You know, the prudent looketh well to his going. What I'm saying to you this morning is it's good to be cautious. If you get someone who joins a church, I wouldn't recommend them being put in a nursery after 3 weeks of being here. You understand what I'm saying? You got to be very cautious, but not critical. And some Christians show a great deal of a lack of charity towards others before they even have to ever hear what the person has to say. For instance, it's in the circles. This preacher or that evangelist or that missionary or that pastor or that person, you know, they hear all these things about them, and I'm very slow to believe that stuff anymore. You know, first of all, you hear it, then you say, and I put them on the spot. I don't care if it's a preacher. I don't care who it is. I say, well, how do you know that? And I'm not being critical or being mean. I'm like, how do you know that about so-and-so? I want to know, is that proof, and can you put your name on it? And if you can't, then you got no business saying it because then you're involved with slander. But, you know, to think evil of someone so you know the whole matter, not the fool utter is all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. And, you know, if for you to think evil of someone until all the circumstances and the matter has been made plain and that person has been able to defend themselves, that's sin. But see, what happens is we think in our own mind we got it all figured out. What so-and-so told us had to be true. But how do you know what so-and-so heard from so-and-so was really true of so-and-so? Somebody will get that later on, amen? Listen, amen. You know what Jonathan Edwards said? That people are not so quick to think evil of those they love. They are very ready to think well of their personal friends, parents, or children. They are slow to believe what is said against them. Which means this, if you say something about somebody in another church I really don't know about, I'm like, okay, well, that's whatever. But you say something about my wife. Like Sergeant York said, you know, Gary Cooper, those are fighting words, amen? I mean, you say something about my wife, I need to know the date, the time, where, how, I need everything. You know what I mean? Because I love my wife, you understand? And those we love, we're very slow to think evil of. And the Bible says that we're not to be partial towards the brethren in our love towards them. We're out of fervent charity towards the brethren. We're to love all the brethren, amen? Love be without what? Dissimulation means without hypocrisy. So believe it or not, even though evil surmisings per se, the word is not found in the Bible anymore besides 1 Timothy 6:4. But if we look at other scriptures, we're going to use some examples. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Like I said, this morning, this sermon is not one of those hooting and hollering and ranting and raving and yelling and saying amen and all that. It's like, man, I didn't know I'm guilty. And it's what God's dealt with me about. And, you know, I asked Dr. Gipp, I said, Dr. Gipp, how is it that you keep from getting critical? It says in the evangelist, you travel, you sightsee, you know, in different churches, you see things that are going on and happening. How do you keep from getting bitter? How do you keep from getting a bad spirit, you know? And he looked at me and said, brother, he said, always try to find something good in the preacher and focus on that. And that's really helped me because I met all sorts of preachers, amen. I met some that I'll never go back to. They'll never have me back. I met some guys that are, you know, a little goofball, you know. I mean, I met some guys that are really straight down, straight as the gun barrel, but, you know, I just learned that there's some points in every one of them that I've learned some really good things about. Amen? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, notice what it says. Charity, okay, it does not behave itself, it does not act weird. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Now watch this. Thinketh no evil. What is that? It's evil surmising. The opposite of it, first of all, the first thing we'll say about evil surmisings is, number one, it's the complete opposite of charity. It's the complete opposite of charity. Thinketh no evil. You know what charity thinks? That if Christ can love you, and he can love me, I can love you. We have no business coming in the church with our nose high, you know, held high up in the air. You know what I mean? You might have something hanging there, by the way. It's just a joke. And you know, you're not all that. You're not that spiritual. You say, well, you don't understand. You're not that spiritual. You're not part of the Trinity. I don't need you to sign my Bible after the service and all that. It's Holy Ghost. You know, you're not like that. And, you know, we need to love one another in the church. Now, I know it's a bad four-letter word, love, in our Baptist church. We think that, you know, we're King James, premillennial, fundamental, independent Baptist and all that. That means we get to cut off everybody's head. No, that's not what we ought to do. I mean, we got some Christian Muslims in churches, amen? Somebody can get that later on again, amen? Well, you know what charity does? Charity thinks the best of others until proven guilty. Listen, I want you to think about something real quickly, just in case you've forgotten. Did Christ love you because you were lovely? Did Christ love you because you were godly? Well, no. He loved you when you were unlovable, and he loved you when you were ungodly. And if he can love you, and say, preacher, I don't do this and I don't do that, yeah, but your thoughts are bad enough. And if we were to show everybody what you thought this past week, I don't care if you're a man or a woman on this screen this week, today, what you thought all last week, you wouldn't think you're so spiritual. And yet, Christ still loves you. That's awesome. And if he can love me in spite of me, well, sure enough, I can love you. Amen. Number two. All right, next thing I want to say, look at Philippians chapter 2. I'll talk about evil surmises this morning. It's the opposite of charity. Philippians chapter 2. Evil surmises are the complete opposite of love. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Number 2, you know what evil surmising is? It's the complete opposite of humility. It's the complete opposite of humility. The Bible says you're to esteem others better than yourself. Look at James chapter 2. The complete opposite of humility. James chapter 2. For instance, let me give you an example. You know what my pastor does? He doesn't care if you're from Hiles. He doesn't care if you're from Bob Jones. He doesn't care what college you're from. And I understand. Okay, before you go, oh, I know. I know the history. I know those things, okay? But bear with me. He wants to find out what you believe personally. He wants to find out where you stand. Instead of thinking evil of you, he said, oh, there's no good thing coming out of those colleges at all, ever. He says, come on in and I'll talk to you and see what you believe. I think that's good. I think that's level-headed. So, oh, you're from that camp, you're in trouble. Oh, you're from that camp, you're, you know. Okay, well, whatever. But that's to think evil. Look at James chapter 2. Verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man of vile raiment. And yet respect him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts? Say, well, this person's obviously better than this person. Listen, I've seen women wear long dresses, standing up where the platform's at, singing songs, and cheating on their husband. Oh, no, she wears pants. She's not right with God. Well, how do you know that? I mean, I've seen the extreme. Now, I'm not against standards. Please don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I'm not impressed with that either. And there's some people that are hung up on that stuff, and it's like, okay, well, have at it. But I'm going to say right now, that doesn't mean they're spiritual. So our mind is, well, they come in looking like this and like looking like that. They're obviously a spiritual family. They might have pornography in their home. See, you'd be surprised if you find out anymore. I mean, man, you don't need to go to Hollywood, just go to church. You'll find all the scandals going on, amen? But you know what? Some Christians will not even give a person a chance to prove that they're not a bad individual. And people who evil surmise always put up a wall. You know, they're the kind of people when you come to church, they do this. Right. Like that. What's wrong with your neck? Got a kink or something? What's wrong? You know, they got a tick or something? It's like, man, you know, they just put up a wall. They never greet you with open arms. Or if they do, they got something on the side. You know what I mean? You know? Ready to fight. But to imagine evil against a person that has never done you wrong is pride. And to pretend to see something in others without any real proof is pride. And the evil you're imagining about the person may not even be true, may not even exist. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been wrong about someone? In the past, I've been wrong about others. Have you ever misunderstood? Like, for instance, let me give you an example. Well, here's a brother. Ready? I know why they don't come back to church Sunday evening. Well, why don't they come back? Well, you don't know. Maybe their mother had a stroke. But then they come back because they're not right with God. Well, how do you know? They didn't come to Sunday school this morning. Maybe their wife had a baby, or maybe their wife had a... You know, you don't know what happened. So automatically you think, so-and-so's not here. They're already backsliding. Instead of praying for them and saying, maybe so-and-so got an action. Maybe so-and-so, no, but we think, right, they're not as spiritual as me. because I would never miss it. Come hell or high water, man, I mean, I'll be there. I mean, just wheel me in on a gurney, I'm there. And the evil surmise is to show you're arrogant. And the evil surmise is to show you're conceited. And it's to show others that you think you're fit and that to judge everyone because of your superior spiritual discernment. Don't you understand I can figure you out in 5 minutes because I'm that. I'm all that. I'm so close to God I can, you know, see through you, like Superman through a wall. You know what I mean? Read all your heart. I'll tell you another reason why it's wrong, the evil surmise. It shows that you're jealous and envious of others. Number three, it shows that you're jealous and envious of others. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I mean, how many times have I thought, well, someone's, and I've done it myself. I said, man, this and that, and I realized later on I was totally wrong, and I had the person misunderstood. And there's times where I thought so-and-so was a really good brother, and so-and-so had it in for my wife. Amen? Flirting with my wife. Preacher. And I thought so-and-so, oh, no, and I had them totally misunderstood. And they took good care, and I'm like, man, I felt bad. I didn't say nothing, but just here. See, you don't have to say anything to be evil, people. It starts right here. Your thoughts are enough to send you to hell, remember that. Just the thoughts. You might have cleaned up the outside, but you clean up this, you'll be spiritual. 1 Timothy 6:4, notice what he says, the end of verse 4, envy. Envy. It shows that you're jealous. And let me give you an example. So-and-so has a nice car. So-and-so has a nice car because they're not right with God like you. Because if they were right with God like you, they wouldn't have a nice car. Well, I bet you they're not tithing because if they were tithing, they wouldn't be able to afford that new car. If they were really giving the missions, they wouldn't be able to have that nice house. Because when I go into someone's house and it's nice, I don't go with my, I don't do this. Okay, wife, and have my wife help me carry my portable pulpit into their living room and start preaching against all of them. Man, when I go into your house and see a nice house, you know what I say? Praise the Lord. I think, man, glory to God. I don't get jealous of you with my fifth wheel and go, man, why do they have a nice house? I can't have a house that big on wheels. I'm just joking. But, you know, it doesn't bother me one bit. I think, man, praise the Lord, bless you. I don't go, well, obviously he's not right. Obviously he's compromised. Anything like that at all. I don't care if you got a big TV. I don't care if you got a big stereo. I don't care what you got. Well, you're going to hide everything when a preacher comes over. Don't hide nothing. Don't worry about it. Amen? Amen? Wow, what did I say there? Amen? You know, here, I was talking to a preacher about this yesterday. It's true. You know, I bet that missionary, that evangelist are very well off because look at that motorhome they have. Man, they're getting to tour the U.S. They're getting to sightsee. They're going to do all that. I told your preacher last night. I was at a church one time. And just before the preacher took up the offering, after the service was good, he took the offering after the service, right? And I thought, well, if they want to give me anything after what I preach, praise the Lord. But then he adds this. This brother, he says, you know, evangelists have it pretty good. Evangelists get to travel. They get to sightsee. They're doing pretty well financially. I'm going, I'm thinking to myself, don't. And I was waiting for the punchline. He said, let's take up the offering. I thought, man, I just killed the spirit. But you know what? That's the mentality of the TBM. T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland, all these guys are doing well financially. That's a bad misnomer. Amen? One guy told me, I was telling your preacher last night, I would like to do that one day with my family. I would like to travel around like you do and sell all that I have and sightsee. There's an evangelist I know. One time a person told his wife, and he said this, he said, it must be nice to be on a permanent vacation. Sure. But it just shows you're jealous. So you're envious of others. You know what I mean? I have people come up to me and say, oh, how much you pay for that? You know what I mean? They don't say that. But they go, that's a really nice thing. How big is that? Where's your family sleeping? I want to tell them on a roof, man, make them suffer for Jesus when I sleep in there. You know, I'm just, but, you know, they look at me and say, and I look at them and I say, cheaper than your mortgage. Amen? I don't get jealous of you guys. I don't care. You got nothing tonight? I don't care. Man, how can he afford? Look at that shit. I don't care one bit, man. I say, praise the Lord. Lord's blessing you. My time's coming. So why should I get jealous of God blessing someone else? My kids get mad. Well, I buy one thing. Say, oh, you should buy them all. No, that ain't reality. I buy them one thing. I say, listen. They go, listen, forget it. You're not getting anything now because you got a bad attitude. You say, well, that's horrible. That's not life. That's life. Some people are more blessed than others. Some people get more things than others. I said, listen, be thankful they got that. That's why I'm thankful. Amen. Number four, amen, evil surmisings. What else does it do? Evil surmising shows you have a bitterness problem. It's as if you have a bitterness problem. See, you've been burnt. Every one of you have been burnt in the past. I don't care how long you live life, you've been hurt by someone in the church. If you've been saved long enough. And if you haven't been saved long enough, you're going to experience it. Sad to say, I'm not a doomsday prophet. But you better let go of your bitterness. And instead of you, well, you know, I mean, you know, you think the worst of others. Here's a common saying of evil surmisers who've been bitter. Watch. I just knew it. The first day I ever saw them, I knew they were never any good. No, that ain't true. The first day you saw them, you welcomed them with open arms in the church. You thought it was wonderful they visited your church, and you invited them back. As a matter of fact, you probably even had a barbecue with them. But no, you knew it all. The first day you saw them, you knew they were fake. They were a fraud. First day you saw them, you knew they were a hypocrite. Because they right now, the brethren have been good to me. Now, I can give you stories. I ain't going to give you stories. You know why? I ain't bitter about it. I'll tell you right now, you know what? If it wasn't for the brethren, I wouldn't have a fifth wheel. Now, I know it's God. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking away God's glory. But if it wasn't for the people giving, I wouldn't have a truck. If it wasn't for the people giving, I wouldn't have a suit. Amen? I thank God for the brethren. You know, they're a lot better to me than the guys at the bar. And I know what it was to do. They didn't care about me one bit. Man, when I got saved, they were nowhere around. When the beer money was gone, they didn't want nothing to do with me. So I thank God for the brethren. They're good. They're the ones that pray for me. They're the ones who care for me. I ain't got to worry about them stealing my money and all that, hurting me when I'm drunk and all that. I thank God for the brethren. Number five. You know what evil surmising does? I'm going to say number five, it causes problems in the church. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're running your mouth about the preacher and his wife and his kids, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not right with God. Okay, come on, we'll take it outside. Say, preacher, you're supposed to be like that. That's a pastor, not to be a brawler. Ain't nothing about an evangelist, amen. But you know what? When I come to this church, and none of you have ever done this, please don't get me wrong, but don't start now. When I come to this church, hopefully I'm your pastor's friend, amen. And you start saying something about him, I'm going to rebuke you to your face. And I'm going to tell your pastor who you are. Say, well, that ain't right. Well, don't say nothing. Because I don't want to hear. Let me hear some of your dirty. Let me see some of your dirty laundry. Your pastor ain't perfect, but you know, he's growing just like you. Amen? And he's going to make mistakes. There was times in South Africa where I said things and done things. I said, church, I want to apologize for last. Yeah. Why? Because I ain't perfect. Amen? And when you start causing problems in the church, you're not right with God. And if you got problems with the church, you need to get right with God or get out, but leave quietly. You know what I've learned? The people who caused problems in the church were people that should have left a long time ago. And most of the people that caused problems in the church were people that were called to preach. Think about that for a while. But I'm going to tell you right now, who causes problems in the church? Slander. Slander. When you evil surmise, you start slandering. You start gossiping. You start backbiting. You start causing division and distance and all that. And a cold, dead spirit over the service. When you start evil surmising, I'm going to tell you right now, it'll kill a church. It'll cause such friction that when a preacher's preaching, it'll feel like a static, you know, on the radio. Ever hear that? Real loud? That's how it is when a preacher's preaching. It's like when he preaches, the words just fall right before him's face. It doesn't go out. There's no liberty. Evil surmising produces evil speakings. You know why? Because you just have to tell others what you think. See, I'm thinking this about so-and-so. Do you think this about that? But you'll do it real spiritual. Just watch. So what do you think about so? As soon as you go there, you're already sinning. Because you want to hear what they think. And you don't even know what you're thinking is right, and what they're thinking may not be right. And maybe they didn't think anything until you say something, then they think something about that person more evil. That's a tongue twister. Don't ever ask me to repeat that again. I can't get that again. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Evil surmises produces evil speakings. You just have to tell someone what you think about brother or sister so-and-so. Until you know a fact for fact what you're thinking is true, you're just speculating or evil surmising. So it's best to keep your mouth shut. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31. The Bible says, let all bitterness, watch, and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All right, look at Titus chapter 3. The Bible says, you'll put away evil speaking. But evil speaking can never be done without evil surmisings. When you think evil, you speak evil. Titus chapter 3, look at verse 2. Watch what the Bible says. To speak evil what? Of no man. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I'll tell you right now, you've caused this church to split. I'll tell you right now, you're not right with God. And it's always when a church is on the uprise. I mean, it's always when a church is growing. That's when somebody's got to ruin it. It's that fly in the apothecary, the ointment of the apothecary that makes the whole thing stink. And it's always when it's on a rebound. And someone's going to come in and say some things and stir up some things. James chapter 4, verse 11. Notice what it says. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm just having you go through it quickly for sake of time. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 1. Notice what it says. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Notice how that malice keeps showing up. And all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all what? Evil speakings. All right, number 6. I'll just give you a few stories. You can write down the scriptures. Number 6, Abraham was an example. Abraham, evil surmise. Said, not Abraham, faithful. You know, Father Abraham, you know, and many sons. Yeah, all that, I know all that stuff, right? But you know what? He thought Abimelech was going to kill him for his wife. In Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, here's Abimelech. He takes Abraham's wife, thinking that it was his sister. And then when Abimelech, you can check it out, in Genesis chapter 20, verse 11, in verses 10 and 11, he says, why did you do this? Abimelech asked him. He says, because I thought. He says, because I'm not lying. He says, because I thought. It almost cost the whole nation God's judgment and wrath upon him, and almost an innocent man. He says, Lord, did I not do this in the innocency of my heart, integrity of my heart? I didn't know this, but he thought. Here's another example, Joab. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 17 to 25, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 17 to 25, Joab thought Abner had a bad motive for wanting to unite the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom was split. And he thought, you know, we want to unite the kingdom under David. And he murdered Abner because he said, don't you know that what he thought was wrong and all that? Don't you think David could see through people? David at that time was spiritual. David at that time was right with God until 2 Samuel 11 when he fell. But you know what Joab didn't want? Joab didn't want anybody taking his position. Some of you get that later on. There's people in the church that want that position of another person. So what they'll do is they'll claw and scratch and fight their way to the top by ruining someone else. They're jealous. All right, how about a war? Did you know a war was started? Do you know how many wars have been started by evil surmising? Rumors, lies. Oh, they got this over here and they got this over there and all that. Then he went over and they never found anything. Let me give you an example. A war was started because of Hanan's servants. Hanan's servants in 2 Samuel chapter 10, you can check it out. 2 Samuel chapter 10 verses 1 through 8. Hanan's servants thought David, when he sent some friends in there to find out how Hanan's was doing because his father died. Remember, he and his father were friends. And when a guy died, he wanted to encourage the young man when he died that he's on his side. And his servant said he came to spy out the land. He didn't come to spy out the land. David did not have any ulterior motive but to go and encourage. How about the people thought Jeremiah was their enemy? They even thought Jeremiah was their enemy, that he was falling away to the Chaldeans. Any evidence, any proof? No, but that's in Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 7 through 14. What was Jeremiah? Jeremiah was their friend, not their enemy. You know what the devil will do? The devil will have you start questioning your preacher's preaching. You know, why do you say that? Why do you say it like that? You know, he's just always nailing my sin. No, it's God nailing your sin. I know that right now, your pastor is not your enemy. You know what? You know why people don't want to come to the pastor for counsel? Because he ain't going to lie. So you'd rather go to someone else, least spiritual, or someone outside the local church. And God help you if you ever decide to go to another pastor for counsel outside of your own pastor's counsel. Amen. I remember South Africa. I'll never forget. I was talking to a lady in my church. I said, listen, you got no business marrying that guy. He's lost. So what did she do? Like a good Christian. She decided to go down the road to the Pentecostal church, Charismatic church. And she said, I got counsel from him. And he told me it's okay to marry. And it's okay if we live together. And at 1 Corinthians 5, where fornication was sin back then, it's not now. That was for that church. I said, really? I said, let me ask you a question. Did he ever open the Bible to you up once in that 30 minutes of counseling? She said, not once. I said, you've been here and I've been opening the Bible you up. I open it up to you right here. Preacher's not your enemy. Even David thought evil of Mephibosheth. Remember that? 2 Samuel chapter 16. You can write it down. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Even David thought evil of Mephibosheth when Ziba told him that Mephibosheth didn't want to come to visit him in the woods. So he says, okay, Ziba, you can have all that's Mephibosheth, all that's thine. And David found out the truth later and felt bad about what he did. And he says, okay, Mephibosheth, you can have it back. Even Eli thought Hannah was drunk. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, he automatically assumed she was crying out to God, pouring out her heart to God, moving her lips, but she didn't hear her words. She's just pouring out her heart to God. So how do you get victory over the sin? Real quickly. How do you get victory over this evil sin? Number one, love the brethren. Love them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, love worketh no ill. Number two, walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Number three, remember that we are members one of another. Remember that we are members one of another. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 through 27, that whether one member rejoice, all the members shall rejoice with it, or one member suffer, all the members shall suffer with it. Number four, humble yourself. If you humble yourself and realize what God thinks of you, then you'll think better of others. And number five, last thing I want to say is this. Never cast judgment upon a person without clear and plain evidence that they are truly guilty of the wrongdoing you think they're guilty of. Until you have proven and until you have clear judgment and you know for a fact, never pass judgment upon someone until it's made clear. Otherwise, you're evil surmising. Amen? So I know it's a Sunday school lesson this morning. Well, I'll tell you right now, how many people have left their church because they thought people in the church didn't care. Because they thought the pastor really didn't love them. Because they thought. See how many times that? And the devil will put thoughts in your mind about one another in this local church to cause division. Tell you right now, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity to teach. Lord, I know it's a straightforward lesson, Lord, and pray God to help and a blessing. Lord, it's my desire. I pray that we will not think evil of others, God, that we be very careful, slow to do that, that we'll think charitably of others, Lord, that we'll be humble in our mind, and Lord, God, that we will not provoke anybody to think evil thoughts of others by our tongue. And praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.